Today on Real Radio.
Every Christian has at least one gift given to him by the Holy Spirit. Why? Because every Christian is needed in the body of Christ tonight. Did you know that? You say, well, I'm a spectator Christian. No, you're not. You're just dragging the rest of us down. It's time to get up and let's go.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his topical series now called, How Do We Get From Here to Heaven? Pastor Jack's been delivering a series within a series, if you will, called The Holy Spirit at Work in You. Now, so far, we've learned about some of the gifts of the Spirit, but did you know that the Holy Spirit has worked in the lives of God's people in both the Old and the New Testaments? That might be a new thought for you. And if you're a true believer, He is indeed at work in you as well. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now continuing his mini-series called The Holy Spirit at Work in You.
But have you ever thought about that for a minute regarding this entire theme about how do we get from here to heaven? Do you ever pause and think about that? We've got the Bible, it's in our hands and it's in our hearts. We know who Jesus is. He died on the cross for our sins. He rose again from the dead. He is our Lord and Savior. And we know from the Bible that the Father is enthroned in heaven above. But listen, how is it that you and I get by every day as being a Christian? That is the sole responsibility and work of the Holy Spirit. You ever think about that? The Holy Spirit is the vital source of our strength and our victory as Christians tonight. If the Holy Spirit's presence is lacking in your life as a believer, I know He dwells within you. We covered that last week. But does the Holy Spirit rest upon you? When God called you to follow Him, He didn't leave you abandoned. He didn't leave you somehow without power. The Bible tells us the same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead dwells in you and I also. Okay, then if that's true, and it is, then what's the deal? Then why are we so weak? Why is it that the church around the world seems to be just getting by, almost in a sense existing and not being triumphant? The old Puritan Christians and preachers used to talk about, and I think it needs to be talked about more again in our age, that the church was basically divided up in two camps. There is the church militant and the church triumphant. The church militant is the church that's here on planet Earth, right here, right now. The church militant is to be a body of believers energized for the power of God, for the kingdom of God. And then the church triumphant is the church in heaven above. Hebrews talks about that body of believers that, as it were, looks down from heaven, that great cloud of witnesses. And so I want to ask you tonight, do you have the power of God at work in your life? And if you don't, and you're a Christian, why not? Well, some verses tonight, in fact, a lot of verses tonight, and we'll go as fast as we can, but it's the ministry of the Holy Spirit. It's His job to get you and I to heaven. And a great verse that clearly implies the work of the Holy Spirit is found in Jude, verse 24. Jude, verse 24 says, now to Him, and that is a declaration of Him regarding the Holy Spirit. Now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling, that's His present work in your life, and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. Church, did you realize that tonight in Jude, verse 24, chapter 1, it's the only chapter there is in Jude, verse 24, that it's the Holy Spirit's job to get you to heaven, and all along now in this life, it's His job to keep you from stumbling. I find that encouraging. Do you have to go back to your old sins of the old man, the old life that we had before we came to Christ? The answer to that is no. If we do go back, it's because we walk out, as it were, on what God has for us, and we return like a pig, the Bible says, returns to the mire, returns to the mud hole. Or the Bible says, as a dog, this is gross, but it's Bible, as a dog returns to its vomit. You don't want to do that as a believer. When the Holy Spirit's at work in the life of the believer, you want to press on, you want to move on. Church, does it get tough at times? Yes. Does it get hard? Absolutely. Does not the Bible tell us, don't become weary at well-doing? Why does it say that? Because we become weary at well-doing. It's hard to be a Christian. a real Christian. The Bible tells us, and we'll look at it now in Romans chapter 12, and we'll read a little bit further down than what's normal. Romans 12, verse 1, Paul said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed, metamorphosed, by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given to me, Paul continues, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. Don't get stuck up or conceited about being a believer. But to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For he has many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. So we, being many, are one body in Christ. And, listen, individual members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, and he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. We'll pause right there. That is just a little hint, and those are referred to, by the way, in Romans chapter 12 as the body gifts. That is the gifts of the body in the gathering together. Now, there's enough of you here right now in this service tonight that if we knew, and everyone we are to know, as a Christian, you ought to be able to write down on a piece of paper what one, at least one of your gifts of the Holy Spirit is in your life. Did you know that? Every Christian has at least one gift given to him by the Holy Spirit. Why? Because every Christian is needed in the body of Christ tonight. Did you know that? You say, well, I'm a spectator Christian. No, you're not. You're just dragging the rest of us down. It's time to get up and let's go. The Christian is to be dynamic in that he is to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. And it's a beautiful thing. If you think of the body gifts at work in the church today, would be something like this. I would be teaching right now, as I am, and somebody would come down the aisle, maybe they're finding their seats, and they trip and fall. Someone who has the gift of mercy goes over to them and starts comforting them. The person who has the gift of helps begins to pick them up. The person who has the gift of giving says, gosh, do you need anything? The person who has the gift of encouragement will say, you know what? Why don't you come down that aisle again? I bet you make it next time. And then I have the gift of teaching. I can tell them how not to fall down like they did a moment ago. That's how the body of Christ works. Some of us are evangelists. Some of us are teachers. Some of us have the gift of helps. Some of us have the gift of administration. And every one of us who, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand because you would all raise your hand. But if you raise your hand and say, I'm a Christian tonight, then you ought to be able to say, and I know the Holy Spirit has given me this gift so that the body of Christ is built up. That's the work of God in the life of the believer. The reason for the gifts within the church is for unity and growth. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. Mark it down if you would. Ephesians 4, 11 says that he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints. Here you go. For the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a complete man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's why you and I have been given at least one gift by the Holy Spirit. You see, we need each other. We live in a culture, we live in an age here in Southern California. God has given us incredible weather. You know, what is it, 335 days a year, we've got perfect sunshine going on, but we don't often get out and rub shoulders with one another, especially in the area of ministry to one another. We go to work, we come home, our garage door opens up, the car gets swallowed by the garage door, and nobody sees us anymore. We are to be out there. Christianity works best in the streets. Christianity works best out in the community, and that's how God uses us. And of course, it works fantastic in the church when we determine, I'm going to go to church, and I'm going to see if the Lord wants to use me. Outside the church, it works this way. Jesus Christ is to be taken to the world. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, the Bible says, Jesus said it. He says, but you shall receive power, that's the word dynamite, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. We talked about that last time. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all of Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. What a great statement. You say, well, Jack, I've never been to Jerusalem. Listen, your Jerusalem's right here, right now. This is your Jerusalem. Did you become a Christian here? Or are you now a Christian here in attendance? Guess what? You are to go out. You're commanded. You see, we shouldn't be praying, Lord, you send people. God, you send people. Send them, God. We are supposed to be praying, Lord, where do you want me to go? He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. To who? To you, to me, to us. We are the senders or we're goers. And then last time, it bears repeating, John chapter 14, verse 16, Jesus said, and I love this because his Father always answers his prayers. Jesus says, I will pray the Father and he will give you another helper, the Parakletos, the Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But note this, mark it, but you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you orphaned or orphans. I will come to you. What a great thing that is. You want to have Christ active in your life, then that's going to be the Holy Spirit at work in you. And what that means is the Holy Spirit, church, listen, the Holy Spirit, yes, he's here right now. We'll learn more of this in a moment. Yes, he's in Haiti. Yes, he's in Canada. Yes, he's in Hollywood right now. He's everywhere. And so when the Lord says, I want you to go out there, the Holy Spirit is not only waiting for you to get there, the Holy Spirit is in you, sending you there. It's amazing. Guys, it's a win-win deal for us as believers. It's so exciting. And how could we do ministry without the Holy Spirit? We can't do true ministry without the Holy Spirit. It's not possible. The church today, I believe, listen, is in a great position. I really believe that. I mean this church, and I mean the church in the world. Here's the reason why. And yes, I'm aware that we're living in these last days the Bible talks about. Yes, I'm aware that we're very much in what the book of Revelation would call a Laodicean period. That is, the church looks dead. By and large, there's a lot of people that name the name of Jesus, but there's anything but Christianity coming out of them. I understand that. I'm talking about real Christianity. I'm excited about the time and the age in which we live in. Yes, it's challenging, but listen, when it's challenging, it's also very hard to go to sleep when it's challenging. Persecution's starting to break out against Christians all around the world, and we'll probably soon see it here in America. We shouldn't be afraid of that. Historically, persecution always strengthens the church. Satan knows that. You attack the church, it gets stronger. By the way, history has shown for the last 2,000 years, attack the church and it grows. Real growth, not looky-loo growth. Not let's go see what's going on kind of growth. People hungering and thirsting for God. And for years, much of what's I call churchianity has taken place in Jesus' name. Church being done by human effort and ingenuity without the Holy Spirit. We've seen the social gospel preached for many years in America. The 12-step self-improvement approach to God. We can do it. We can grab our bootstraps and pull ourselves up and we can make it happen. In America, we've got churches, and I'm not knocking. Look, you're sitting in a big church, so I'm not knocking this church. I'm not knocking any particular church. But we have to be careful because you know what? You can throw money at something and make it look anointed. And that's a dangerous thing. We've mastered that as Americans. We can so do it up that it looks right and it looks great, but is God in it? The social gospel, I think, hurt the church greatly. And then you guys all know, we've seen the get-rich gospel of the church, the prosperity gospel movement. God wants you rich. That only works in places where people have money to give to the guy that's saying that. And then he takes all the money, and he's the one that leaves, and he's the one that's rich. And it's a heretical teaching. And people fall for it because they see this stuff pumped up. They see this stuff looking fantastic. And they conclude, well, God must be in that. And then there's the word faith gospel of the church. You can create your own reality by the words you use. Don't say, you know, I've actually, maybe you have too, I have seen people sick. They're really sick. They've got the flu, they're sick, but they've come from that word faith. Don't confess it. Man, you look like you're sick. Let me pray for you. I'm not sick. And they're throwing up. You're sick. I'm not sick. I'm not going to say it. Look, you're sick. I'll say it for you. You're sick. Let me pray for you. The Bible says to pray for those who are sick. Don't pray for me. I'm not sick. And the guy's unbelievable. Things done and mentioned always, oh, it's the Spirit of God. It's the Holy. And the Word of God is violated for some fad, for some strange doctrine that's not biblically based on half-truth. It's a very scary time. Why? What's going on? The Bible says, Jesus said it, the Holy Spirit will bring to our memory, to bring to our recollection, the Word of God. Romans 13, verse 1 says, know this, or knowing that the time, it is now high time, that we awake out of sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. That's good news. So church, listen. This is all introduction, by the way. I hope you're enjoying yourself. We're almost there. What the church needs today, tonight, isn't another program or a seminar. Listen, the church needs more of the Holy Spirit. Church family, if we're going to survive the 21st century, no, strike that. I will not be content to survive the 21st century. We have been made more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. If we are going to be triumphant, it is going to be because of our radical dependence upon the Holy Spirit. To seek the Spirit, to walk in the Spirit, to consult the Spirit. It's His job to get you and I from here to heaven. That's His desire. That's what He wants. So here we go. As we jump back into our series right now, who is the Spirit of God? We continue. Pick up where we left off. He is God, the omnipotent Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the omnipotent Spirit. He's the all-powerful Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And the church needs His power today. The church seems to exist between revivals. I want you to think about that statement for a moment. The church throughout history seems to exist between revivals. That is the church of believers, either in a state of acceleration or coasting. One or the other. The power of the Holy Spirit, church, mark this. And I'm saying this to, I hope, generate a passion in your heart. Because revivals, by the way, always start with an individual and it spreads like fire. Now watch this. You and I, personally, as a Christian, we are either accelerating with God or we're coasting. In a revival, you are accelerating. Now, you can be right here, right now, experiencing a personal revival in your life. You are empowered by the Holy Spirit. You are desperate for the things of God. You are hungering for the Bible. You can't get enough of Him. And the Spirit of God is moving in your life, and you love it. And you're saying, man, if I knew this about Christianity, I would have become a Christian sooner. This is amazing. I love it. It's fantastic. And you're going along. And by the way, you're going so wonderfully fast in the Spirit of God, you're moving at warp speed. And have you noticed that as you're following Jesus, all the riffraff friends that you used to have are just kind of getting blown away in the astro dust as you fly away? They're like, they're getting blown because you have got your eyes so set on Jesus, you're moving. David said, the Lord is ever before my face. He said that in the midst of a personal revival. Hungering for God. Your friends call you up, hey, come on, let's go do that thing, or let's go over there. And you say, you know what, I can't. What are you going to do? I'm going to stay home tonight. Oh, come on, you're going to get bored. No, you know what? And you think of something, or you just flat out tell them, I want to be with God. They're going to think you're nuts. Listen, they already think you're nuts. Just be with God. It's amazing. And you have a personal revival. Now watch this. The Bible warns us to maintain that. If we don't, we begin to coast. And if we begin to keep on coasting, we'll begin to eventually what the Bible calls backslide. And the church has existed for 2,000 years, either in a state of acceleration or coasting? I want to ask you tonight, are you coasting or are you accelerating? What's going on in your life? And the great thing about those who are accelerating is when somebody asks you, what's God doing in your life? You've got an answer. I think, by the way, we all ought to start asking one another that. Hey, what's God showing you? What's going on in your life? What's happening? You ought to be able to answer that. If you go, no, man, I hope nobody asks me that question, then you're coasting. The Lord showed me a vision years and years ago of this church. I don't know if I've ever shared this publicly. The vision that I saw about this church was the Mojave Desert, barren desert. And there was a cloud in the distance, a little cloud like the size of my fist. And as the cloud was approaching my vantage point, I saw beneath the cloud a train, a steam engine train, with a flat car on the back and a big bucket, a big bronze bucket. And the cloud was going across the desert floor, and right underneath that cloud was that train, and the rain was falling from that train, and it was going right into that big bucket. The engine was propelled, I guess, supernaturally. There was no fire, there was no anything else, no coal. And the train was moving across the California desert, and every so often that big bronze bucket would get filled up, and when the train would make a turn, the bucket would spill all over the desert floor and the desert would blossom. And then time would go by. And by the way, behind the train was the track that it was riding on. In front of the train, there was no track. The cloud came first, then the track and the train appeared at the exact same moment. And desert areas would bloom into oases. To this day, I've asked God, Lord, show me what that is. Show me what that means. That dream vision's probably 20 years old. But to me, that's a great picture of revival taking place, accelerating or coasting. You know, you can pull the power off of a train. There's enough inertia, there's enough history, there's enough power, there's enough kinetic energy to keep that train going, and it will slow down ever so slowly that the naked eye, your eye, my eye, will not notice it slowing down at all. Did you know that? That's much like Christianity, isn't it? You begin to back away, you cool down a little bit, and nobody exactly notices real quick if you're slowing down. You don't want to be coasting. The church is powerless today in many regions because of a poor diet spiritually. The church is eating junk food instead of the Bible, more symposiums and more things rather than Bible. You might ask this evening, do I need his power in my life? Absolutely. Listen, we need his power to defeat temptation. We need his power so that we can become mature. We need his power because that's how people are truly influenced for God. You might ask, how do I get his power? Number one, by recognizing your great need and my great need for his power. Can you admit tonight, I need the power of God in my life?
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson that takes a look at what Scripture says about the Holy Spirit at work in you. In fact, that is the title of the series within a series, The Holy Spirit at Work in You. It's part of Pastor Jack's bigger collection of studies called How Do We Get From Here to Heaven? And we'll continue with more on Monday's edition of Real Radio. By the way, have you downloaded our new smartphone app yet? It's called Real Life with Jack Hibbs. Happens to be the same title as one of our weekly television programs. Remember now, it's absolutely free. You know, here at Real Radio, you hear us mention things like Journey. That's one of our television programs. That airs on hischannel.com, by the way. Words to the Wise, that's Pastor Jack's devotional, which you can sign up for and get via email. Our Wednesday night study, which also airs on hischannel.com live. Our Real Radio podcasts, of course, Real Life with Jack Hibbs, that's another one of our weekly television programs, and we deal with topical issues and a whole lot more on that show. Now, you'll see when you download it, the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app for your smartphone is a great resource. Just go to your app store for Real Life with Jack Hibbs, the new free app for your smartphone. Of course, you can learn more when you visit realradioactive.org, that's realradioactive.org. Our telephone number, if you'd like to talk to someone, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 1-877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay, and Till next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.